You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Now, we are doing something very special that we have never really done before, and we're kicking off the new year together as all of Student Ministries, and we are talking about prayer. Prayer is an essential practice for Christians. We are commanded to pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 say, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so prayer is a commandment, but it could be like kind of confusing to think about how do you pray and why is it important. And in the month of January, our whole church is taking 21 days to be intentional about praying and fasting so that we can connect with God. And because we're doing this as a whole church, we get to connect with God with each other. And so if you did not get one of those calendars yet that will guide you through this whole month, we will have them available for you in the back. We don't want you to miss out on this time together. I think when we think about prayer, sometimes if we're new to prayer, we don't know what to say. And we just get a little confused, and it kind of sounds like empty, like are we really talking to anyone? Maybe if we've been praying for a while, it can feel a little rehearsed, like we're using the same phrases over and over again. And maybe if you're in that space, you're kind of wondering, like, does prayer have any meaning at all? And maybe as we've seen, you know, just in the last 24 hours, these crazy winds and fires and people losing their homes and cars are damaged. There's so much loss. And you're like, is the first response, like, is the best response really to just pray first? Yes. Thank you, Joseph. That was our whole message. So,
amen.
We are going to take this month as a Student Ministries family to talk about prayer, why it's important, and how we do it. And so because we're doing the same series in JHM and HSM, we thought it would be good to start it all off together tonight. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to focus tonight on the purpose of prayer. God's word gives a lot of good reasons to pray, and tonight we're going to look at four of them. So before we, or as we jump in, would you bow your heads with me and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your presence that is here with us in this room. Thank you that you love every single student and leader who's here. And God, we pray that you would open up our minds and our hearts to your word. Help us to understand your purposes behind prayer. We pray that you would comfort us and convict us and change us, Jesus. And God, we do pause and lift up those who are experiencing loss from the winds and the fires. Jesus, we pray that you would comfort them in a way that only you can. Jesus, we pray that you'd bring healing to our land and to families affected. And Jesus, would you show us how to live and love like you, all for your glory in everything that we face. We love you so much, and we lift up all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, hello, everybody. So we're good to be here. HSM, thank you for letting JHM crash your party for a night. This is amazing. It's actually your first time Claire and I are ever co-preaching together. So this is an experience that we're all getting together.
It's going to be so exciting.
It's really exciting. It's really exciting. My first question is this, and this might be an obvious one. Who has Wi-Fi in their house? Raise of hands. Just raise of hands. That's all. Raise of hands. Okay. Who enjoys their Wi-Fi? Who doesn't have Wi-Fi right now because their electricity's down? Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's all of us. I mean, most of us. Similarly to Wi-Fi, you know how when you have Wi-Fi, when you're closer to the router, you have stronger Wi-Fi. But when you are farther away from the router, Wi-Fi can get a little sketchy, right? Can get a little iffy, right? And it's the same concept with God. Prayer is our connection to the Father. Prayer is our connection to the Father. Psalms 145:18, it says this: "The Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call on him in truth." This verse describes how our God is not distant or inaccessible, but he invites us into his presence. And his presence is full of peace if we dwell in it. The other way we can look at this is, if God is in the heavens and we are on earth, right, prayer is the connection between us, right? Between us. And so when we pray to bring heaven down to earth, it is through prayer that brings heaven down to earth. What a beautiful illustration. Yet if we bring it down to a personal level, God desires us personally, to us, just to our hearts, in our inner beings, in our emotions. God desires us personally. Philippians 4:6-7, it says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now, some of you in this room might be like, "Oh man, like I'm just afraid that my requests are going to be crazy to God. Like I don't know if God's going to hear my prayer, or maybe I just feel embarrassed praying to God. Like I've never really had this before." Claire will talk more about this later in her message. But really, God invites us to bring every need, every fear, every thanksgiving to God in him in prayer. And he's not only willing to listen, but he's eager to respond. The character of God is eager to respond. And so even verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When we connect to God with prayer, we experience his peace, an unfathomable gift, one that transcends all understanding. Yet that steadies us in a time when it feels so uncertain, his peace. And so when we connect with God, we are able to experience and just see maybe some crazy acts of God, not only in our own lives, but in other people's lives as well. And that brings me to my next point. My next point is this: prayer connects our will with God's will. Prayer connects our will with God's will. Prayer is a way that we can participate in God's story that he is writing, not in our only in our own lives, but in other people's lives as well. Let me tell you the story. This is kind of an embarrassing story. I'm embarrassed to share it, but I will share it. I will share it for my own doing. The example is, I was in fifth grade at this moment, and I used to live in a neighborhood where I only had two or three friends my age, that only one of those friends went to my school, and her name was Lauren. I had a massive crush on Lauren.
There it is.
Yeah,
there
I had a massive crush on Lauren. We used to hang out every weekend. Some may say I had a riz back in the day.
Let me explain. I don't know about that.
But don't worry. Let me explain. Kira's my fiance now. I don't love Lauren anymore. But let me continue. Let me continue the story. I had a massive crush on her. We would always hang out. But there was this other friend that lived on the street who would also hang out with us, whose name was Chris. And whether he knew it or not, he never knew. And he never would get that he got in the middle of Lauren and I. Now, Lauren wasn't a Christian. She wasn't a Christian. And in my spare time, I would think about her, and I would pray about her, and I would think about professing my love to her some way, somehow. Because you know that in the movies, when the man professes the love to the female, you know that they automatically are going to say yes, and they're just acting like they don't like them, but they really do like them. It's logic. It makes sense, right? It makes sense. So I would go back and forth, and I would just think of this glimpse of reality, but then I'd go back to this hope that maybe she would love me too, and we'd go back and forth, and I would just keep praying, "God, would you make her Christian? Would she love Jesus? Would you help her be a Christian girl? Would you let her be Christian?" I would pray this for 2 weeks because I couldn't build the oomph to go and tell her anything, obviously. So it kind of finally came to the point. Chris was out of town. Lauren was free, and we could finally hang out one-on-one. Wow. I am ready. I ride my bike to her house. Pull off the bike, walk up to her door, knock on the door. She's there. Her dad's behind her. Hey, Mr. Plyman. Hey, do you want to go walk at the park? She's like, yeah, sure, let's go. So we go walk to the park, and I confront her. I say, this is my chance. I built it up. I prayed for this moment. I prayed for her to be Christian. This is my moment. I go to her, and I say, hey, I got to tell you something. I like you.
That was brave. That was brave.
And
that
she's
was
like,
good.
she said, oh, like, I like you too. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. But like, no, like, I like you. Like, I love you.
So, listen, I love that.
Here's how the story of the Rizzler goes. Let me explain. In that moment, she looks at me and she says, oh, well, yeah, like, I was like, do you like me too? And she's like, and I was like, okay, but like, she's like, maybe. I was like, okay, in math class, we were learning about percentages. So I was like, oh, so like 50%, 35%, 45%. Ladies and gentlemen, it was after that moment where we walked back to her house. I dropped her off at home. And she didn't end up coming over to her dad's house any weekend after that. But let me explain. In middle school, we actually got disconnected. She went to a different middle school, and I went to a different middle school. And then high school, we got reconnected again. And I said, hey, what's up, Lauren? But she actually didn't want to do anything to do with me. She kind of went her own way. She looked into the side every time she saw me. She became really popular, and then she just went down kind of a dark path. It wasn't until we graduated college and even graduated high school and then graduated college where she ended up finding the Lord, and now she's a worship leader in the city of Anaheim. So, but let me explain the whole point of the story. The point is this. Prayer is a powerful thing. When we speak to God, even doesn't matter how crazy or how insignificant or just how crazy those prayers may be, God listens and God answers those prayers. It's crazy how maybe my fifth grade self praying for her to be Christian. One day, would she just be Christian and would I love her? Maybe he didn't answer one of the prayers, but he answered maybe a more important prayer, that she found Jesus. And now she's leading people to Jesus as a worship leader in Anaheim. God can use any prayers. My last verse I want to share with you is Ephesians 6:18, and it says this. Pray in the Spirit in all occasions. Important word there, all. In all occasions. And with all kinds of prayers and petitions. All kinds. There's not a prayer that's dumb enough. There's not a prayer that's crazy enough. There's not a prayer that's more insignificant enough for God. Any prayer, all occasions, all kinds of prayers. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord's people. Ephesians commands us to pray in all occasions. The Lord welcomes us to pray in all occasions. And so the ball is in your court. What would it look like to pray before going into a test that you're nervous about? What would it look like to pray when maybe your parents are having a fight at home? Maybe what would it look like to pray when you do feel feelings for somebody, to release it to God and say, God, what are these feelings? I want to talk to you about these. Man, what would it look like to even celebrate with God any milestones in your life, like your birthday? What would it look like to pray on your birthday for another year, another breath of life? So I want to ask Claire Kalinko. Claire, put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a time when maybe prayer has influenced your life or something when we're praying in all kinds of prayers in all occasions? What maybe has been an example in your life?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I so appreciate what you shared. And it reminded me, I have a necklace that I wear every day, and it's a cross. It's okay if you've never noticed that, Pastor Nick.
Colorblind.
Every day. Colorblind, yeah. But I wear it every day. It's very special to me because it's a cross, of course. But also one of my best friends gave it to me, and she does not know Jesus. So it was really meaningful to me because she knows that my faith is important to me. And so I wear it every day, and I like to grab onto it, especially when we're worshiping or when I'm praying, because the cross reminds me of the sacrifice that Jesus paid in order to save me, but also to save the whole world. And it reminds me of my friend, and it reminds me to pray for her. That maybe kind of to your point, Pastor Nick, one of the best ways that I can love her is to pray for her. And it does, that prayer aligns my heart with God's will, that I desire for her to know the love and the peace and the joy that is secure in Christ. And it makes me bolder as I pray for her to share his love, to share his gospel with her. And so she's has not accepted the Lord yet, but it's a prayer that I'm trying to be faithful in. But I think that point and this story reminds us of our third point, which is that prayer keeps us humble and dependent on God. John 15:5 is where Jesus pretty famously preaches, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." You see, one of the essential truths of the Bible that we sometimes like get offended by, or sometimes we kind of ignore, is that God is God and we are not. Like, as much as we might want to be God, we're just not. God is the one who's sovereign, which means he's completely in control. And he doesn't just have all power, he is good. He is totally in control and he is good. And for us, as humans, we are not in control of our own lives. And the truth is, we are not good apart from God. And we try to, like, ignore this. We try to have control over our lives. We try to control our calendar and our schedules. We try to control our social media profile so that it looks perfect for everyone else to see. But we know that things don't always go according to plan. We make mistakes. We hurt other people, or other people hurt us, or we experience hardships and struggles that we don't plan on and usually don't want. I think about the fires and the winds that we've just experienced together this week. But when we pray to God, we are praying to Almighty, the most powerful being. When we pray to God, this is who you're praying to. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, scripture says, "Then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" If you're in an impossible situation, I love that Nick highlighted that we are invited to pray to God in any and all circumstances. If it feels impossible, you are praying to God whose voice silences the winds and the waves. And even if we, you know, think that we're good in and of ourselves, the truth is we only know goodness because God defines it for us. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Prayer helps us call on the name of Jesus. Prayer helps us recognize that we can do nothing on our own, that we need the power and the authority and the love of Jesus to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. And it's a great gift to have this kind of personal conversation with the most powerful God. Like, think about, you know, us today. When you hang out with your friends, think about when you go grab coffee or you go get Yogurtland and you're sitting around a table and you're having a conversation. It's that real. It's that personal. It's that close. And that is kind of like the same access that we have to God through prayer, which was made possible through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus. A prayerful person is a humble person who recognizes his or her need for God every moment of every day. And as we do this, as we follow God's command to pray, we find that prayer helps us live as Jesus did. Jesus is God. He's a part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was God here on earth, fully God and fully man, and yet this is what is written about him in the Gospels, in our Bibles. In Mark 1, verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." In Luke 5, verse 16, it says that Jesus often, frequently, it was a regular practice for him to withdraw to lonely places and pray. Romans 12, 12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." And you know who was faithful in prayer? Jesus. And he was God. Like, Jesus was fully God, and yet he knew prayer kept him humble and dependent on the Father, and he is an example for us. Jesus also knew that prayer let him pour out his heart to the Father, that he could be honest with the Father, that he could make honest requests to the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, which is where Jesus was right before he was betrayed and arrested and brought to the cross to be put to death, he prays to the Father asking for something different. In Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 32, it says, "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.' Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.'" Jesus was so honest with the Father, and I love that Pastor Nick reminded us that there's nothing too small or insignificant to God. If you're wondering if God cares about what you're feeling or what you're experiencing, he totally does. He is near to you. Jesus told the Father that he was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He fell to the ground desperate for God to answer him. But while he asked for something different, he remained humble in his prayer. And he remembered that God was good and can be trusted. And that even if the Father doesn't answer our prayers exactly how we want him to, that he is worth surrendering to. That the Father can be trusted. And Jesus, because he prayed that prayer, because he obeyed what the Father asked of him, even when it didn't make sense, and even when his feelings said otherwise, through the sacrifice of Jesus, God accomplished his salvation plan for the world. If the God of the universe prayed while he was on earth, how much more should we as humans pray? And if Jesus could trust his Father and how he chose to answer his prayer, then how much more should we as humans be able to trust our Heavenly Father and his plan for prayers and how he answers them? God has so much purpose for prayer. Prayer is our connection to the Father. Prayer connects our will to God's will. Prayer keeps us humble and dependent on God, and prayer helps us live exactly how Jesus did.
Yeah, I love that, Pastor Claire. If you haven't started the 21 days of prayer fasting quite yet, we want to encourage you to just jump on it. Even if it's a simple day one, even if you haven't started yet, you want to start on just the fifth day, even if it's the eighth day today, just start small. Pick one prayer, pick somebody to pray for. Just think of something in your mind to pray for. Start small and watch how the Lord uses your prayer for 21 days to change the world. Let's pray and then we'll go to life groups. God, we thank you and we honor you in this time, Jesus. We want to lift up our life group time together, Jesus. There would be great conversations, wrestling with you, Jesus, but also getting to the root of who you are and the character that you are good. God, we also just pray, God, for those students out there who don't know how to pray or just are worried to pray, or even those students out there that are just praying every single day, God, that would you honor their prayers, Jesus, and would you help people to start praying? And God, just to remember and to know that when there is no way with prayer, God makes a way. And so we lift tonight up to you. We lift our lives up to you. We pray for our prayer lives too, Jesus, that you would make those alive and active. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.